Hey there, kids. It's me, Oni the Unicorn. And I'm here to tell you that f***ing your dreams ain't cheap. In fact, it costs a ton of cash to do. So that's why me and the Oh No Radio Show need your help. Just go to the website displayed below and hit us up with some cash, yo. $1, $5, fuck, $1 million if you have it to spare. Any amount is appreciated. Well, I gotta go because these dreams ain't gonna fuck themselves. See ya!
No!
No! God, please, no!
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You are listening to the Oh No Radio Show.
Eat a bag of dicks.
You know my new thing that I don't like, guys? It's people that walk with their heads tilted to the side. I don't know. I'll explain. We'll know in a bit.
Oh no, baby! Oh no!
Welcome back to another edition of the Oh No Radio Show. As some of you keen-eyed Twitch watchers might have seen, I'm wearing my new bootleg Rage Against the Machine t-shirt. I'll explain a little bit more about that later. But
sweet bootleg, bro.
Yes,
it's a sweet.
I had the sleeves had to come off immediately for this shirt to work. But you know how it is. Anyway, my name is Owen. I am the captain of the shit ship. Along with me tonight is my good friend Ty, the lizard wizard from the Great White North. That's a white up there now, Ty. But I'm sure. What sort of temperatures you rocking on your daily average there, bro?
It's been a keen 70s the last week. Like would, 77. What? It might get to 80, 81 if it's momentarily hot, but it's nice, man.
These are
I'd
why
kill for that.
Yeah, we'd all pretty much kill for that. Along with us as well is my mustache muse, one of my greatest friends in this whole entire world, and from what I hear, a professional local broadcaster here with us.
You're damn right.
It's the one and only Mike B. And
what up, baby?
I'm throwing you the curveball, Mike, because I got a pretty good voicemail from Mike. I got an excited drunk Mike on the phone in between this week's show and last week's show. I think it was the following night after he and Janine had come into studio, and you explained that you were going to go to the Stranger Things concert. And
the Little Stranger Things
concert.
And you're a son of a bitch.
And you went to DeLand, and you had I saw pictures of you with all the celebrities. Mike is just hobnubbing of around that what is it? It's not hobnubbing, it's hobnobbing.
Hobnobbing.
You were hobnobbing.
Hobnubbing's weird. Yeah, that's a sex thing. Hubnubbin.
Hubnubbin
is because,
definitely a thing.
One, I am such a consummate professional broadcaster that I know a lot of, influencers in town, whether it's the podcast queen of Orlando, Samantha.
Sure.
Good friends with her and my good buddy, Daniel Dennis Tom and Dan were there. And a voice that you're all very familiar with, you probably all heard if you listen in the Orlando area for a long time, the good guy Dan Stone, he's back in Florida.
Yeah,
again.
Dan Stone, this is the voicemail I get. Okay, so I'm not doing it right.
Are you going to play it?
Oh, I'm going to play it. I've got it. Like, I'm actually just going to play it from my phone. I forgot to hook it in and do it properly, but bear with me, right? Like, you'll still hear it just well enough. And so, yeah, it's 11:34, July 29, 11:34. Mike B, he is so excited. And he's just like, Owen, you'll never guess. Daniel Dennis introduced me to Dan Stone. And he's so excited because he was introduced as a local
broadcaster.
Like, and
well, you're damn right.
I said, well, that's cool. I guess. I mean, I must be a local broadcaster.
You
too.
Are.
Of course. I mean, if you're considered a broadcaster, what am I? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Senior broadcaster.
I am a senior broadcaster. Thank you. Yeah. I like that title. I will allow that into the conversation. It was cute. He was he was smitten because Dan Stone's a big deal. He does all the branding on Real Radio, Tom and Dan, and he does stuff like across the nation. This guy has like the voice of voices, right? Like if you ever heard Dan Stone, you know it. And he's a very familiar voice to a lot of people.
And you most certainly probably have heard him.
You have heard it. Exactly. Yep. So I understand why you would be excited to meet this guy, you know, introduced that way, but he's so cute. Listen to him. Oh, he's so cute. Play it here. See if I can get it. Play the voicemail thingy. Oh.
Do it.
Come on. Oh, no. Do the speaker. Why won't you do speaker thing?
Do the speaker. It'll do.
Do the speaker.
Come on. Be a speaker.
Be a speaker. Hang on.
It's just a phone.
It's this thing.
Now did you break it? Is it because it's on mute?
Now it wants me to print it. I don't want to print that. Like that doesn't seem like that's the most efficient way for
printing
this to work.
Is definitely not going to get you an audio format for this.
Now I'm emailing it to myself. I don't know why. I'm okay.
So you can open it from an email.
Yeah.
I hope it just gives you the text version.
Yeah, it just comes
in the email. No, it's like, this is what you wanted, yeah?
Why is it not doing the speaker thing? Where's speakerphone on this thing? It says it by the thing, it should do it, but it doesn't do it.
It's like hit the button. Maybe your phone knows it doesn't want to embarrass me.
Is it still on vibrate?
I think I got it.
Take it off vibrate.
I think I got it. Hang on. Oh, yeah. Is that it? Do I have it?
I'm sorry if I'm fanboying a little bit, but Daniel Dennis just introduced me to Dan Stone as a broadcaster in Orlando. And I'm just geeking. I love you, brother. Thank you so much.
Ah, beautiful. Short and sweet.
You could tell he starts off real drunk. But he's by the end of it, he's like, I can't be this drunk on my voicemail to Owen.
I gotta clear it up. I'm clearing it up.
He's gonna play this on air. I know that motherfucker. And then and sure enough, but you cleaned it up by the end. You pulled it together, and it sounds like you had a good time there in old DeLand. How's DeLand looking?
So, Cafe Da Vinci. If you've never been there,
no, I haven't.
Is like. You come down the road, like a main, like an actual road, and then there's this little, like, side, like, cobble brick road.
Yeah. And I've been there before. I remember that spot.
And it's like, it leads down into, like, this little market, kind of like marketplace area. You could drive a car down it, but, like, they had, like, tents set up and all sorts of shit, so you couldn't really drive down it. Well, it's, like, tucked in the middle of this little area, so you can't, there's no like parking directly for it, you just kind of walk up to it. And I learned pretty quickly that they don't really care if you smoke weed in there,
because
the whole place just stunk, like reeked of weed.
All right.
They were kind of just letting people free smoke, and you know, we met another like set of people who were smoking a blunt, because I was like looking for a place to hide and smoke, and they're like, oh bro, you don't gotta hide, just
smoke,
spark up.
Yeah, again, so that's DeLand. I mean, it does sound like they don't have any laws out there, you know,
lawless
like
west.
It is the wild west. I've always thought of it like that, so it kind of checks out. All right, well, and the bands were good. Little Stranger Things were good.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a lot of like rock and funk, and you know, there were some horns involved.
Yeah. You like a good horn.
I like a good horn section. Yeah,
I think we, you know what, all of us can agree, a little horn will make your day a lot, a little better.
Oh,
a lot of horn will ruin your day.
Yeah, you can overdo the horn.
You can overdo it quick. It's a It's a bit like this podcast. Balance. You know, that's why we have to separate the podcast into two halves, because if you get all of it at once, it's too much. They can't handle the truth, son. So you've got to split that up into Oh No and Oh No 2.0. And and that's why we do that. We'll record in one night, but that's why you get this, you know, sometimes 3-hour broadcast split into two, because if we gave you the full thing, God knows what would happen.
I mean, to be fair, the Twitch broadcast for both of the last shows, 3 hours, 43 minutes.
It's a long time. Ooh. Yeah, I mean, that's with a break. That's with a break. But at the same time, it's a long thing.
It's a big old show.
Yeah. Let me talk about my bootleg Rage Against the Machine shirt for a little bit.
Your sleeveless bootleg?
Well, yeah, I had to immediately cut the sleeves off. So my friend friend Steve, we all know Steve, you know?
Steve!
Yeah, he's a good buddy of the show. He lives down the street, and so I popped around his place last night, hanging out with him for a little bit, and he just got back from a trip. He went up to Pennsylvania. He saw some friends up there. But he went to the RTJ Rage Against the Machine show.
Oh, nice.
Steve is a massive Run the Jewels fan, right? So he mainly went for Run the Jewels, but he actually said Run the Jewels was fine, but Rage was like stole the show. And he's not even that big of a Rage guy, right? Like, he didn't go there for that. He went there for the other. So that says something. Zach De La Rocha, right? I'm saying that pretty much right, I think.
Yeah.
he's like busted his leg or his ankle or something, so he's not able to.
It happened actually here in Wisconsin.
Oh, did it?
It was like their first fucking show. He got wild and
he just fucked up his own.
I don't
leg.
Know if he fell off the stage or some weird shit happened. Wait, but he fucked up his leg.
We call that, me and Duncan, like in wrestling, we call that jabroning yourself. that's like. You know,
you
like
jabron yourself.
When you actually hurt yourself, like for instance, like when I broke my clavicle and I fell off my bike,
jabroning.
That was a supreme of supreme jabroning of oneself. So, like, I think that Zach De La Rocha,
I think everybody was nervous too, because that was like the first fucking show. You know,
he raged that hard. It was so much pent up rage against the machine that he. You know, fell over and now whatever he did, and he broke his fucking ankle or whatever. And so the show that Steve saw, he was sitting, he's like, I don't remember what he was sitting on. I'm like, was he in a chair? Cause I asked him, I'm like, was he on a stool? Was he on a chair? He's like,
I think he's sitting on the subs most of the time.
I think
or the
that's
monitor.
What he said. He's like, he was sitting on a speaker is the way he put it. I'm like, so in my mind, I'm thinking maybe like an amp or something like that. But I think you might be like more right. Like, he was probably like further down stage sitting on the monitors, being as close to the crowd. And he said, even with that like hindrance, he still like somehow put on one of the best performances he's ever seen, like was blown away, all this sort of shit. He then said they had like actual seats, you know, like, they sat there for Run the Jewels, but someone convinced them they could like sneak down. They almost like snuck down like to the thing, like during, you know, side stage kind of by, you know, Rage and everything. And he was also saying that the crowd in there, he's like, it's weird. Somehow Rage Against the Machine and I wanted to talk to you about this. This is the biggest point of why I'm bringing this up. And we don't get political necessarily on this show, but I just want you guys and your opinion of the weird sort of like dichotomy of this. A lot of MAGA hats, a lot of Trumpers at the Rage Against the Machine show.
Yeah.
They not understand?
I
want to
say it's like an ironic.
I don't think it's ironic.
It's not ironic.
Wait, where was the show at?
Pennsylvania. They've got a lot, and they've got. He was saying even in like he stayed in the city, but the outskirts of Pennsylvania, and like it's bumfuck country. Like there's a lot and where I think the show was like in the city, but there's a lot of surrounding towns that
are just shit.
Yeah, if you just exit that city, like all of a sudden you're in Shitsville, and let's just say a lot of red hats. That area.
The shitty part about that in my mind is like I thought it was trolling when I first saw it, but there's a lot of people that don't understand at all what Rage Against the Machine was raging about when they made their music.
Yeah, these people are all into the like fuck the system is broken side of Rage Against the Machine. Okay, but they don't understand.
The system they want to replace it with is
This is like an anarchist socialist band since its inception, and like I couldn't think of more causes that are anti what they believe in. Right, like the two things should not like align, and this is what's just so bizarre to me. Like he said like 20%. He's like, I'm serious. He's like 15-20% of people at that show were of this political persuasion, right? We'll just say that. I think
Tom Morello got rushed on stage too by one of these assholes.
So it goes deeper because Rage is now aware of this and now they're fucking with the people and they're doing stuff to where they're literally singing to them and like spouting lyrics, maybe sometimes too quickly for them to grasp, and having them cheer the very thing that they making. It's the musical equivalent of the Wayne's World joke. A loser said what? You know, that's what said what?
Yeah, man.
Like they're literally doing something like that to provoke or sort of make an ass of these fans, and they're also leaving them. I think one of the big things that they did, they wanted to do the build up to fuck you, don't do what you tell me, fuck you, don't do what you tell, like they wanted to do the motherfucker, like, you know, like all that shit.
Sort
of, so like I don't know exactly when he ended it, but he built them up and did it for he's like I don't know. It's my buddy Steve's memory, but he's like, it was minutes. It was long, right? Like and he's just building it, and never does the resolve and walks off stage. And it's kind of like the fuck you to, you know, all of that. What do you think about that shit?
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's an awesome sentiment to have. And you know what? The thing is, you can do it as much as you want. And these people are still going, because of like the status of Rage Against the Machine, I feel like people are going to continue to buy tickets no matter how they get clowned. He could openly say like, hey, if you're wearing a Trump MAGA hat right now, I hate who you are and I hate what you stand for. And people would show up the very next show with their MAGA hat, probably even more MAGA hats.
Yep.
So that they can say like, oh, Zach De La Rocha hates me.
Yep. I mean, there's a weird thing going on there. And that's, you know, Rage is the band that we need, but I'm also worried, like, as much as I'd love to see Rage, some shit's going to probably go down at one of those shows one day. I think about that. Hopefully I'm like, oh, I hope not. But, you know, that's the pessimistic side of me. But so
still, Steve, I'm glad they're true to form, though. You know
Yeah. Me too. And believe what you want to believe. Rage is still one of the most, I've talked to plenty of people that aren't even, again, the biggest Rage fans. Our friend Duncan commented on Rage, and we were talking about this, and he's like, I'm not even the biggest Rage fan of all time. He likes a different side of metal and stuff, you know, with that. And he likes a different side of hip hop with, you know, that. It's cool. He has great music taste. But he was like, he's like one of the top acts and he's seen a lot of bands. He's worked a lot of bands. He will even say one of the most like incredible live acts, you know, he's ever seen. Yeah. And this is a former road dog, right? Like this is a guy that's seen a lot of fucking shows. Like Duncan has probably seen more shows than anybody I've known just because he was in the industry. You might be close, Ty. You're definitely in that range, but
seen a lot of shows, but yeah. I don't, we're not measuring dicks, but yeah.
No. And yeah, different types of shows, I suppose, like bigger shows, little shows, whatever. But 100% Duncan. Yeah. Like I don't take that lightly, you know, when he says that Rage is like one of the best live acts he's ever seen. And my friend Steve, again, who's saying kind of the same thing, like that wasn't even the biggest fan. Ended up like, wow, that's something special, right? And it's just,
I mean, they're definitely one of my top inspiring things when I was a fucking teenager learning guitar. I learned all that shit right away, like whole albums.
And, dude, we all went through our Rage phase, and I'll still throw it on every once in a while and like a little bomb track here and there or something, right?
Yeah, man.
You know,
why not?
I'll throw the vinyl on occasion.
If my radio is on and some Rage comes on, I'm definitely not changing the station.
No, absolutely. So Steve, my buddy, like he's leaving the stadium and he didn't buy any merch inside, but you know, they've got the outside bootleg merch.
People are bootlegging still.
Yeah.
And, but that's fucking fun. It's fun.
And that's why I got this. That's where this shirt comes from, because Steve is an empathetic guy and he felt these guys needed maybe a little help and he wanted to help them out. Buy a t-shirt. So I think it was like a $20 t-shirt, he said. And he asked for a large. That's what the size Steve wears. And he, I feel like a lot, like I was going to ask you, Mike, you know a bit about this because you've been around like podcast merch and all that sort of stuff in general. They will, I think these carnies and especially like these, like, you know, bootlegging motherfuckers that they're already selling the bootleg shirt outside, right? Like,
yeah,
Steve asked for the large,
right?
Doesn't check the size, but the guy I think intentionally hands him the small.
Oh,
a small,
maybe. Well, here's the thing, he might have just been out of larges,
and that's the thing, he's not gonna tell, they also sell what are like. Larges, extra larges, they sell the most, they sell the fastest.
Right.
Smalls are hard to get rid of a lot of times. Medium, smalls, that type of thing. I don't know if this one is a medium or a small, but either way, he deliberately handed him a size that I believe was like the
one. Did he shoo him away afterward? He's like, all right, man, get out. Like, hey, move along.
I didn't ask that, but Steve took it as, Steve is short in stature. But he's like, he's a lot thicker than me, right? Like he's short in stature. Like he's probably,
he's built like a dwarf.
Yeah, he's dwarfy. He's 5'4" five-ish, something like that. Like he's something like that. Like he's like, I'm a lot taller than him, and I'm not that tall. And so he thought it was an insult by the guy, like, hey, you look small. He's giving him like a different size. I contend it's not that way. And that the guy was just basically trying to grift him, and even it like
offload a t-shirt,
shirt, especially of a size that he knows he's not going to sell as much. If they don't check it, like he would instantly like be like, oh no, this is a small. And it took that 2 seconds, right? Check the label, right size, you know, then you can move small. On. If not, oh, hey man, this is a small. Like I asked for a large. And he's probably got a trunk load of the larges in the back. But if he can get rid of the one of the smalls, then he, you know, like then he's got more inventory of the stuff he knows he can probably sell.
But yeah, if I can dupe one sucker into taking a small, I can save the money on these larges.
That's what I'm saying.
Definitely still buy.
At least he got to reap the reward.
Well, then yeah, he had it. He's like, he tried it on. He really wanted to wear it, and he hated it. And then he was like, I'm too fat for this. And then he was like, I went around his house. It was hanging up. I'm like, that's awesome. He's like, you think so? He's like, well, it's yours. Like, give me $10 on Venmo. And I got it. And it's so much like it's like the most wrestling shirt, Rage Against the Machine shirt. That's why I like it. It's like, it was made for me. It's like, this is almost, that's a wrestling shirt, you know? Like that.
Is that any of their real branding, or did somebody just make that?
Someone made that, I think. I don't know. Is it? I don't know if it is their branding.
I don't think so. No.
No. But I mean, it does.
It's got.
Now,
the,
I will say, it does have a little bit of a.
There's some dates with, on the back there.
The yeah, dates? I mean, it's a big logo. But it does also look like there's a little bit of like stars and bars on them.
Oh, that's not it, is it?
Yeah, I mean, there's some stars.
That's
and
a flag. That's not. That's the star. That's
yeah.
The...
But I mean, it looks a little rebel flaggy. Yes, the scope.
I think it was actually like a Hulk shirt at one point, and then they just switched the fist to the Rage logo with. You know, different color.
Look at that guy. He's got a grenade. I got an Antifa man. I got an Antifa man on my shirt.
That's what we need.
Yeah. This has got a grenade or something. Like, look at him. I don't know what he's doing over
there. He's got a projectile explosive.
Look at him. He's just doing what he feels is right. Okay? I don't know. That's not the right thing to say.
I remember that song by, who was it? The Decemberists, when we're going to throw bricks through that Starbucks window.
Uh-huh.
I remember. I remember being young and rebellious.
Okay.
You know what being old and rebellious gets you?
What?
Fucking permanent injuries.
That's true.
Can I just fully endorse another like memorabilia?
Yeah.
Talking about Rage and fucking all this other shit. Dude, I watched the new Beavis and Butthead earlier today.
What, the movie? Like, the new movie?
Not that, no, the new show that they're doing.
I haven't seen any of the new stuff. What is okay. Tell me.
The Do the Universe is fine. I didn't really care. I fell asleep during that shit.
I haven't seen that.
But the new episodes are super slappers. Like, holy shit, it's so good.
I was,
my heart exploded earlier. I couldn't believe, I cried a little bit and I laughed a lot.
This is on Paramount?
Yeah.
It's the one I don't have. I've got all the fucking other ones. Do you want to? Yeah, we'll talk. We'll do something.
It's worth it. I want you to watch it so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know it, Norm. So it's both,
I don't know,
same and updated at the same time, but in a great way. Like, there's still Beavis and Butthead, like the same. They're still in high school and shit. But
Ty, do you know the drummer's name from Rage?
He's local up here, like not far from where I live. His family's from up here.
Really?
I can't remember his name, though.
Yeah. Norm said that if Mike could name the drummer from Rage, he would give us $10. But yeah, I don't know it either. No. I know Tom Morello. I know Zach De La Rocha.
Yeah.
Rocha, however you say it. But that's
Rocha.
It. That's all.
I guess his name is Brad Wilk.
Brad fucking Wilk. I knew that.
I knew a Wilk. I think I squeezed it.
I had to look it up, but it's Brad Wilk.
Mm.
Dude.
Bro, and this dude was born in 68.
Whoa.
Guy's like 50 fucking years old.
He's still raging.
He's literally from like outside my town.
He's literally coming up to retirement age.
Yeah.
Well, they're slow breeders in Wisconsin. You see, it takes about 43 years of basement dwelling to finally like come out as an adult. Like, so they're delayed, right?
So
like
is the basement basically the Wisconsin teenager's cocoon?
Yeah, it's a cocoon. Yeah, that's exactly it. You got a cocoon. Mm. You got to smoke enough weed to get
in the basement.
In the basement to eventually
to fully transform.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard. I guess. Still, I'll let it rest. But holy shit, watch the new Beavis and Butthead show. Oh my god,
I'm very happy that I've got someone I trust's opinion and recommendation on this because I was skeptical. I don't think I'll care. The last run on MTV started out really strong, but it tapered off. Like, they kind of like lost their way somewhere in that. I need to go back and watch those, but
I think they're also on Paramount, the old ones.
They probably are, I would assume.
Instead of watching actual music videos, they watch YouTube clips now.
Okay, because they
also fucking great.
Well, and that makes sense because like they in the MTV era, like well not when they brought it back just a few years ago, they were still watching MTV, but they what was on MTV. So it was all the reality shows, and they were talking right. about the reality shows. So now it's a couple years on from that. Now it's YouTube clips and, you know, shit like
sometimes
that.
It's music, sometimes it's goofy shit, but I won't ruin it. But oh my God, I was super happy about it.
Oh, dude, I grew up on Beavis and Butthead, loved it. It's still.
I feel like we're all fans of Mike Judge in general.
Yeah,
and like,
of course,
Beavis and Butthead. That's his like super early renditions of Mike Judge, and he's done all this other shit and grown up and like still created really good content throughout the years.
You know what I watched? Totally Mike Judge unrelated. But you know what? I got the new cable. I canceled my cable, upgraded my internet, and got Sling and all that. And Sling's got all these weird fucking channels that I didn't used to have. And so I was flipping through, and we've got Fuse now. Like, I remember mm-hmm. having that as a kid. And during the day, they play marathons of Malcolm in the Middle.
And bro, that is a great show.
Holy yeah. fuck. Like, I remember liking it when I was younger, but that show doesn't get like as much praise as it should. That show is phenomenal. That show is like, I don't know, like Malcolm in the Middle is like a banger, and it's like a sleeper
amazing
banger.
Dude, and especially, I mean, at least for me, like, we grew up pretty poor. So like a lot of that
it's relatable to you, right? Yeah.
It was very relatable. There were three kids in my house too. Like,
yeah.
It was very understandable.
And how you see like what's crazy, of course, is watching it after Breaking Bad and seeing Bryan Cranston in what's his name?
Hal.
Seeing him as Hal, but you start recognizing how fucking good he was in that. He doesn't get enough credit for like he's obviously, you know, obviously credited as one of the best actors of our day after Breaking Bad, and rightfully so,
right?
But like, but that motherfucker was good great. Back then that motherfucker was killing it in a completely different role, obviously super yeah. a lot more comedic and dumb and all that. That motherfucker was nailing it, like, even back then. I know he was in Seinfeld even before that, but that Malcolm in the Middle role, like, I think, like, it might be up there with, like, Heisenberg, man. Like, it's as an actor, like, if you're, like, he doesn't get enough credit for it. Like, it's, and the whole show, Lois is fantastic. His, the chick that, yeah. you know, she's, Malcolm might be one so of the weakest, he Jane might be Casimere. The weakest part of the show. Is Malcolm the weakest part of Malcolm in the Middle?
No, I don't think I honestly, if I had to cast anything as the weakest link, it was all Reese's character.
Reese's
character plot points yeah. were all.
He's the worst. He's the worst.
We're very tropey of being like a bully.
I like the older one though, Francis.
Francis.
I like Francis.
He had a lot. Even Dewey, like the youngest.
Oh, Dewey
son.
Was great. Dewey was
awesome.
He had
a lot of more like complex plot points that were pretty good.
And those ears and the way they got that kid to be so deadpan, right? Like the way they got him to do that, like yeah. that's some good ass directing right there. And like,
no, both the parents were amazing in their roles as parents. There was also a lot of really touching moments in Malcolm in the Middle when yeah. you watch the whole series.
Yep.
Some of those arcs, like the resolution to some of the arcs it's very touching and very like not funny. It's produced
really well. Like all of it is just, I think, well written, well produced. Maybe this is a new thing. Maybe once a week I'll come in here and I'll give you a little rundown of a Malcolm in the Middle episode and give you like a brief plot synopsis and just, cause I'm into it. I'm like, I do remember talking about it when I was a kid and watching it, but I guess I'm seeing it through such a different lens, and it's totally hitting differently. And yeah. you know, like it, and I think it's a nice innocent blast from the past, because they don't touch on anything that's controversial really, or like, and because so many things you go back and watch, right, and you're like, ooh, couldn't do that today. Like, there's episodes of Seinfeld like that. There's tons of shows you can go back and watch. I'm like, yeah, that probably wouldn't pass, you know, you know, by the censors today or whatever it is. I don't think you really have that with Malcolm in the Middle. It feels so innocent. There was one, I guess, well, maybe, I think this would still pass, though. They made fun of the drunkard because they Lois had just gotten Malcolm a job at the little store she works
the
at.
The convenience store. Or like the Walgreens style store.
Yeah. And as he's like on his first day, there's a guy in like an Uncle Sam costume on stilts, and he's standing out there, and he's like, you know, come to the store or whatever. He's like their guy that they've had for, you know, however long as their the Uncle Sam guy that stands on the stilts.
Right.
But this guy's a drunk, and he like sort of like throws up on like or right next to Malcolm as they're he's walking in for his first day at work.
Right.
And the guy ends up getting too drunk, and he like loses his job. Malcolm and the fat guy, the guy that has Craig. The crush on Lois, I forget his name.
His name is Craig.
Craig. Yeah. They go to the drunk's place to take back the costume and the stilts, and they have to like drag it out, and they do this whole thing with this long, like as like Malcolm's got the stilt like costume, and he's pulling it out, but they make it like way too long, so it's like it's just a little like right. sight gag that like they do for like way too long, so like it makes it look like it's like 25 feet
long,
yeah like stilt. 25 feet long or whatever, and then Malcolm gets the job. He has to be the stilt guy because Lois makes,
of course
she's like, I got you an extra 25 cents an hour, whatever it was. And you're going to, now you can wave to all your friends and just get people into the store. And like, oh, great. You know, but just, could you get away with the alcoholism out angle? Like these days
says the
half drunk guy,
super tame, honestly.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Nobody out there wants to demonize alcohol. Unless it's for like a redemption arc, you have to like go full on into like, oh, this person danced with alcohol and went too far and now they have to go to like rehab. Sure. You can't like casually put it out there that, oh, alcohol is like a bad substance anymore. Like,
yeah, it's less you. I think what I'm trying to say is they used to use it in a lot of movies as a comedic thing. Where when someone's a drunk, they make fun of the fool, the drunk, right? The town drunkard, yeah. That whole deal. You don't see that anymore. Now it's like, this guy's got a problem. It's wicked serious. You can't just, there's no more jovial. We need to bring that back. Jovial, just drunk people, you know?
Tried, Owen.
I know,
people
right?
people get to see, they're like, he's jovial. And he's, then the next time it's like, oh, he's
like, ah, that's just mine.
He's still jovial.
He's fine.
Pretty jovial.
Now they're like, he's a drunk. Like, we should get him some help.
So this totally does relate. And before we go to one of our favorite segments, I wanted to bring up an English term that I heard on wrestling commentary the other day, but it was the way this guy said it was an English guy and, you know, very well respected William Regal, Stephen Regal, William Regal, however, you know, you look at him. But it reminded me just of a British slang that I haven't heard in a while that I think that we need to start using on the show. And that is the words tosspot. Do you know tosspot? Have you ever heard tosspot as an insult?
It's like a throwaway. Mm. They're like a throwaway person. It's like, whatever. Like, you're nothing.
You're a tosspot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're a wanker. You're a tosspot. You're, you know, you're kind of a piece of shit. It comes from I looked this up the other day. It actually does mean like literally drunkard. And it has something to do with something called a tosspot.
Is that what people would throw
I
up?
I want to know what the tosspot is, yeah.
Yeah. What
That's
is
what
it?
It sounds like.
Oh, hang on. I'm pulling it up.
Puke bucket.
Originally a word for someone who is a drunkard, overfond of ale, and of tossing the pot of ale back. So like that's where it comes from.
They called a cup a pot back then.
And then, so that's like the, when you go to Urban Dictionary, that's the first one that comes up for toss pot. Then you scroll down. So it's like,
also sounds like some gay shit probably.
And then, okay, well the next one is toss pot. Basically it means you are a wanker.
I love that. Basically, so, you're just a wanker.
Basically, yeah. So just keep that in mind, guys. We need to incorporate. This is like an Ono directive from the Fuck Your Dreams unicorn. He has told me that we need to be using the term tosspot more.
I have a feeling you haven't had enough to drink to access your English accent, no, but I want to hear you say it in an English accent.
You fucking tosspot.
Oh, there. I like that.
Okay. All right.
Shall we, boys? What?
Oh, shall we bring forth the clips.
You know you want them, baby. You know you got them, baby. You know you want them, baby. You know you got them, baby. Clips. You know we got them, baby.
Clips. Yeah, Clips is the time of the show where we take a look at all the stuff that our good buddy, the Clip Commander Tom, finds for us on the internet. He showed up to work this week. He even gave me the clips a day early because he felt guilty about last week. He left me in the lurch and I had to fucking pull all the clips last minute. but we'll see. Now it's a full Tom Clips, and we'll see how he does. This first one is called The Bible Slide.
Let's win the lost.
Okay. Win the lost.
Go left.
Yeah. Okay.
Take his kingdom back now, y'all. Two souls this time.
Two souls this time.
Two souls this time.
Yeah.
Right fist, two pumps.
Yeah.
Left fist, two pumps. Uh-huh. Pray on your knees. Pray on your knees. Get holy with it.
Ooh.
Okay.
Getting holy with it.
Oh, yeah.
I love this white funkness, but man,
that we got to ask on all these clips. Sometimes we got to ask these on these clips sometimes. And Mikey, I go to you because you question them a lot. Real or fake?
This is somebody's real attempt.
I think this is real.
They've got like a new age church. And this is like the dude. He honestly looks like Steve from Blue's Clues a little bit.
Does.
But he's like the cool. And this isn't youth group. This is like young adult, like 20, yeah, early 20s.
Yep. Just past 18, youth group. Yeah.
18 to 25.
24.
You broke it off at the cha-cha. I need to see
pray
the cha-cha.
Pray on your knees. Get holy with it.
Get holy with it.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
All right, let's see it.
Now, y'all. Temptations. Turn them down.
Okay.
The harvest is ready.
Not that funky.
Take him back now, y'all. Five souls this time.
Five souls?
On principalities, let's sum.
Fucking on necromancer. The
They're not your friends. The devil's not your friend. On the devil, let's stomp. On temptation, let's stomp. Behave! Everybody raise your hands. Come on, y'all. Pray it out.
Okay. Can I ask an obvious question here, though? Like, you have this dude, this like cool black dude, like, and all these like cool black chicks, and like, or there's one I think back there. Can they not be the guy doing the thing and in the front? Because they would be better at it. I'm just saying. No?
Oof.
Okay.
I would hope so, but
yeah, I want to believe so.
Let's check out Poop Stick Man.
What? Why Poop Stick Man?
Because it never flushes down.
Okay, so I think this is Poop Stick Man. This guy is a Poop Stick Man.
I think that's David Lynch.
He has Lynchy vibes. You're all right. Yeah, definite Lynchy vibes. Let's check it out. Oh, there we go. There we go.
I've had very bad luck with number two because it never flushes down.
That's because you make a number nine. That's why. You still use.
I guess he has like crazy big shits, and he can't get them down the toilet. That's, I think, his wife. I think this man has a poop stick that he uses to push.
A push rod poop stick?
Yeah, I think that's where we're going. I might be wrong. I've never seen
where
this.
Would you, okay, hold on. If I am correct, where would you keep your poop rod push stick when it's not
plunger,
actively in use?
Plunger territory, somewhere there. Maybe next to...
bro, that's that. But a plunger, I feel like you... You can like rinse that out like a stick.
I would just rinse. I could rinse my poop stick. Don't you? Come on, we've all got to leave this guy alone.
I do have one still.
You guys, could you explain what you're talking about?
Please tell us about the poop stick. Let me show you.
Going in the bathroom here. All right.
Yep. Here we go.
Wait a minute.
That oh, it's would, an actual stick.
Yeah, it's an
it's
actual.
It's an actual.
Oh,
I was
oh,
expecting
no.
a broom handle.
Me
type
too,
device.
Ty. I was 100%. I was expecting a man-made poop stick, right? Like
no,
some form.
I
of...
I just go out in nature, and when I got to replace my poop stick because it's too poopy, I go get another stick.
I can't. You know what though? I can't fault the logic of it. That is a good, solid poop stick. But he knows how to pick.
I mean, it's better than like hand washing your poop pole.
Right. And when it's done, you burn it, you know, you throw it in the wilderness and it's your poop stick. You're done. And then you go get a new poop stick. So this guy does have the right.
But that means every deuce is a hunt in the forest.
Well, you don't know about how often he might use that poop stick was waiting for him. Is that a new poop stick?
I don't know. I think you use it for. How many poop sticks does it get?
As a rational human,
do you go collect a bundle at a time? Is that what you're asking?
I don't think this is a one-time use poop stick. I think this gets six.
Did that come out from behind the closet? Like, did he pull it out from the space behind?
I think
that
he
closet?
Has a little, I think he has a shelving unit and he pulled it off the top.
Okay.
I think it was on the top of the little the shelving unit. I think this is one of those that when it starts to smell, you throw it out. So this gets a solid 6 to 9 days of poop stickage, and then he goes gets a new one. But he's always got one at the ready because you're right, he does pick up a bundle of poop sticks when he's out in the forest. He's always got one ready to go.
Ta-da.
What do you do with that?
I have a problem here at home in most every toilet in the world.
Don't poke your head with it.
I can't have a bowel movement without it stopping up. Okay? And I don't feel like doing it on the floor with paper. I mean, to me,
what do you mean on the floor with paper?
What?
Put paper down and just have my bowel movement on the paper and then throwing it out.
What?
To me, that...
Holy shit.
I take a stick and I just kind of chop it up into pieces. Then I flush the toilet again with all the rushing water, let it wash off, and then I take this generally outside and let it dry.
That was a twist. That was not what we were talking about at all.
Actually, he did explain his process, and I'm pretty glad that he actually explained it.
Can you help explain it to me and the audience, Ty? Because I'm a little lost.
This is a little
disgusting. A little lost.
Well,
what do you think he's doing here?
From what I understand, he's still pooping on the floor.
Yeah.
And then chopping it up.
Yeah, but is he
with the stick?
But
and then
yeah,
he's putting the poop chops down the toilet and washing off
is
the
that
stick.
What he's, is that what he's doing? That's what he's doing.
Let's replay it. Let's
do it
again.
Do you have like a poop bucket or a poop trough?
No, I think he's pooping on like paper towels or paper. Probably newspaper.
On the tile floor, that grout.
I wonder what he does. Like if he like has to hold steady, if he's got like super fucking quads from pooping on the floor forever.
But why?
I figure why should I have to deprive myself of sitting on a toilet to do what just practically every other human being.
Oh no! So
does.
He poops on the toilet and then chops it.
I think that I'm the only guy in the world that has this.
Don't
problem.
Put the stick near your face, bro.
Yeah.
So. That's the story.
He gets
of the
it like dangerously.
Story.
Thank you.
I'm still not. I'm still not 100% sure of what this guy's doing. So now is he shitting in the toilet and then just chopping it up with the poop stick before he flushes it down? Is that what he's doing?
This is what it sounds like to me, yes.
But he definitely alluded to the, like, I think he used to shit on the floor or something. Because he was like pointing at the floor and the toilet paper and also clean your bathroom. You got a camera crew.
AMC Small Town Security.
Okay, well, that's definitely not it.
Well, all right.
Yeah, so, okay, that guy still don't like you. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Don't like you. moving on, we've got this guy here who he's going to sing, you know, that song at the baseball games they sing over in the Americas. He's getting going to go ahead and get a prostate exam and sing the song, I think.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back for its root. Root for the Pelicans. If
Pelicans.
They don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Didn't flinch.
He what definitely the? Stopped.
I mean, but he...
and was
no,
like,
that was like oh. After it, though. Yeah, because he was surprised it was over, I think. Right? Hang on.
I think he got a little sensation when he pulled out.
I mean, yeah. But he definitely, like... He did well, right? He did pretty good.
I don't care if I ever get back.
That's it. Like he gets the little wink there. Like there it is. Like you see, watch.
I don't care if I ever get back.
See it? And then the doctor pops up right behind him.
Root for the Pelicans if they don't.
Yeah, so I think it's like done by that point. You hear the doctor taking off his, you know.
What the fuck, though? Like, he's got to come in this appointment like, hey, doc, listen, I'm a guy. I got an idea. It's stupid. You're not going to like it. But
okay,
just...
here's the deal. What they're probably doing. He's probably doing it for men's health. He's at that age. He's also probably like a baseball announcer or some shit. And he's like. Guys, see, it's like not a big deal. I could get my prostate examined. Like, you should do it too. And I could still sing the next. Like, that's probably what they're doing. And if that's the case, then fine. Like, all right. Like,
I feel like we're coming up on that shit. We got to do that not too many years from now.
What is it, 45 or something? 40 something?
I think you're supposed to. Is it 40?
No. I'm not doing that at 40. You fucking. I'm 36. Time will tell. I'll probably have to get it done before then. Anyway, there's a. I remember Sizzler. Good old Sizzler. Let's take a look at this.
Take the family out to Sizzler.
That's a promotional commercial. 91 for Sizzler. Sorry, it's loud. One second.
Are you and your dog going to the Sizzler?
Look at fucking Sizzler. Remember when America was good? Look at this is America when it was good, right?
When we had Sizzlers.
Yeah, hardworking Americans, baseball playing chicks, hanging out by trees.
Dogs.
It was dogs, yeah. Fishermen. Real, like when fishermen looked like that. You know, that was the better America.
Yeah. Listen to the message that it sings.
Gazing weirdly at children.
Let us lift our voices.
Yeah.
We can make the choices.
Yeah, we can.
We will
hit
make
that
the most
baseball.
Of all the best that freedom brings.
Yes, Sizzler.
Sizzler.
Yes.
Yes. Brings us choices.
Sizzler is the one that brings us choices.
Wow. It is a little too grandiose.
Yeah, for what it really for is advertising. Sizzler. Yeah.
Hey, Sizzler's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, but the build up seemed like something big was gonna happen, and then it's like
here's the deal,
Sizzler.
Mikey. Here's the deal. You are sort of right, but I think back then, it maybe it was a little too grandiose, but it wasn't like that grandiose for it.
People
right?
still loved America because they wanted to love America.
And they want to love Sizzler and all their goddamn choices. Freedom isn't free, motherfucker. Each and
every day, America. 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 Sizzler, yeah.
All over America, a quiet revolution has been taking place.
Yeah.
More and more.
Wait a minute. God damn it. It sounds like the beginning of a Trump advertisement. I'm starting to get hard.
And raising families. Life seems to be moving
with
faster
babies.
Than ever.
Oh, wait.
And Americans have redefining what's really important in their lives.
Yeah.
They want quality.
They do.
In their personal life.
They want quality. Like Sizzler. This is awesome. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Look at business. Mm-hmm. Check out what's this business been doing.
Business.
There was also a nice gentleman with his child riding a merry-go-round unicorn. That was good. I enjoyed that part.
Mm-hmm. In the goods they purchase and in the food they eat.
Yeah.
They want good, basic home cooking.
Yeah, they do.
Quality.
Look at how much lettuce was on
food
that burger.
Sizzler?
Yeah, this is fucking Sizzler.
You get your ass up and go get your own price.
Americans want value.
Sizzler brings the choices that you've been looking for.
Look at that lady. She is disco queen.
Bro, did you see how big her cauldrons were?
Makes me
horny
a little bit.
They were actually
kind of
sexy, though.
Yeah. She's pretty. She's doing it for me.
Whoa.
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 Whoa. Highly suggestive. That
woman did a lot of cocaine.
Uh-huh.
So did everybody.
Dude, that was back then when you could be a proud businessman and be bald as fuck.
Yeah. Oh, you got.
Holy shit. How long is this commercial?
It's long.
It's like a fucking presentation.
No, this is when you could. This was in like the late 80s when you could have.
It's like four minutes.
When did they display this whole commercial? How does that happen?
And it's called a promotional commercial. So they probably showed this to like American investors, cooking. You know?
Fresh fish, a variety of salads, wonderful hot appetizers, tantalizing combination platters.
Look at them crab legs.
So wait, but did Sizzler have an actual like order out of kitchen, or was it all buffet?
With two completely
it was buffet.
I remember it. Sizzler is
I think they're about to. Oh, and I think they're right about to explain.
Oh, okay. Well, we all have the same question: is Sizzler a buffet or is it both? Like, what is going on?
Maybe both.
There's
I don't know.
A little dine-in situation here.
In one restaurant, the Grill, with a variety of distinctive platters served at your table, and the Buffet Court, a whole experience on its own. Where
it's a buffet court, I like that. That really,
bro, this way they classes get it you up for both.
It classes it up
because you could probably order an entree and then get the rest of the buffet for like another. Back then.
Oh, well,
bucks.
and you're honestly, you're the real cheap ass if you just go to get the meal and you don't spend the extra like $3 for the buffet thing, you know?
Yeah.
So you get looked at really like, you ever go to like Texas Day Brazil and they got like, you know, you pay the thing and you get all the meats and everything, but there's like an added fee for their like middle ground. It's like they're like $1 million charcuterie platter, you know, like it's hanging around over there, and it's like an added fee. If you don't do that, I kind of look down on you.
Gotta do it.
If you're doing it, you're doing it right.
You create delicious combinations just the way you want them.
It's an onion
it's
ring.
A restaurant within a restaurant with all ice. The value, quality, and freedom of choice Americans want. It's unique.
God damn it.
It's bold. It's ahead
bro,
of the competition.
A fucking Sizzler,
Sizzler
right
for the 90s. Exactly what America wants.
Goddamn right.
Sizzler still looks exactly like that, too.
This should be a. Can we make this the new national anthem?
Sizzler, I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah. Sizzler is the choice of America. Like it's got a good thing.
Sizzler gives the choices. Every day.
gives me choices every day.
Yep. Sizzler, yeah. Talking Sizzler. Super Sizzler, yeah. You need that. We eat delicious Sizzler.
I don't know how I topped that clip. I don't know.
I don't know how you topped that clip. Sizzler. Wow. Little ASMR at the end.
Sizzler. That was pretty fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for that one. Yeah. There's only one clip that I think.
You guys grew up with Sizzler, right? Like you guys were always close to a Sizzler.
I don't think I've been to a Sizzler maybe once in my life. More than that. Like 2-3 times, but not a lot. Sizzler was not a staple of the but we were even us poor motherfuckers were like, we ain't going to that Sizzler.
Sizzler wasn't really big in Wisconsin, but in Orlando.
They're everywhere.
Three Sizzlers. I don't know.
Do you remember the wrestler Scott Steiner?
Yeah, I had drinks with that motherfucker.
No. I was gonna say he owned a Sizzler, it was a Shoney's.
Shoney's.
Scott Steiner, the big like jacked up dude, he owns a Shoney's somewhere in Georgia. Watch out, just don't go into the wrong Shoney's. I'm just warning people. Anyway, there's two possible like maybe toppers of this because that was such a great clip, but I think I'm gonna go.
Damn you, Sizzler.
I think I'm going to go with this one. And so there's something, it's just called Rick Moranis turning Japanese. And I'm not familiar with this.
I like this.
All right. I know the song turning Japanese. I know who Rick Moranis is, but I've never seen any crossover from those two things. So maybe this is something we missed. We'll find
maybe
out.
Maybe we're about to.
I've got your picture.
Whoa.
I've got your picture.
That's the lyrics. Yeah.
I'd like a million of you all around myself.
This might just have topped Sizzler.
To take a picture so I can look at you from inside.
Think it to be Moranis.
You get me turning up and turning down. I'm turning in and turning round.
So this is clearly from a sketch comedy show, I'm guessing, from back in the day. Like this is an earnest Rick Moranis doing this.
I think it's
real.
a deep fake.
Oh, is it?
Oh.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's a deep fake. Wow. Like, I don't know. Someone just
Google. Come on. Someone Google Rick Moranis turning Japanese and tell me what they can tell me because I don't know.
Take a picture.
It's amazing.
I didn't think about that. You get me turning up and turning down. I'm turning in and turning round. Turning Japanese. I really think so.
This is amazing.
Turning Japanese, I really think so.
You know, I think you might be right, Ty. It might be.
Okay, turning hold on. Japanese, so, Japanese, I really think I, so. It is a bit because this was from his time he spent with Second City, comedy group.
All right. I was right. Come on.
Okay.
Come
on. Okay. Yeah, this is from a Second City TV broadcast.
That makes sense. SCTV. Yeah.
I thought it was a deep fake because his makeup actually looks kind
of
weird.
Yeah, it is weird. I think that's what I was seeing too. Plus, with the poor resolution of this clip, like it kind of melds into that where it's like, is your face falling off type shit?
Turn in Japanese. Completely.
It's fucking awesome though. I can't.
There's nothing Japanese about this video, really.
And it's so untrue to the concept of the song, like everything about it. I love it.
I do love, if that's Rick Moranis' real voice, he's got a kick-ass lounge voice.
Hell yeah, he does. I have two like side clips, but they're like my own thing that I pulled. So I think I'll play those maybe in the second segment. Sometimes I like to throw you a curveball there, but I'll leave our clips for this first segment with this one. And this is a band, I think I've introduced you to this band before. In the past, Yellow Magic Orchestra. Have we had that conversation?
Possibly.
I think we have. So they're,
sounds familiar.
So they're like a crazy awesome Japanese band. And I feel like Tom must have just discovered them. And I haven't seen, this is a music video of theirs, but I haven't seen it either. So I'm going to trust that this is probably pretty fucking good. And we're going to check this out. Here we go here. Oh, pretty space age so far. Oh, yeah, I love this song. I've never seen this video. This song's pit. Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh. This shit's like in the 70s, dude. This was like the first, this was their like beginning of cool synth new wave shit. This was the Japanese beginning of that, right?
I also know this song. Never saw the video. Is this a video?
Me neither. Yeah.
Like the actual video?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
It's awesome.
It's fucking rad as shit. Bam, bam, bam. Look at that shit.
Look at that little tiny drum set.
Yeah, dude. I can't play too much of the music, obviously, because we'll get butt-fucked by the, you know...
Ooh,
I don't want to get butt-fucked by the Yellow Magic Orchestra, but I'll tell you what. They are rad as hell. We definitely have played them before. I think we did a whole segment on them one time. But like,
oh,
I never
on
a saw
video
them.
Show, oh. Please stop and cease and desist. Thank you very much.
It's totally like, seriously, isn't it like... Chromeo before Chromeo. I think that's what I said the last time. But like, yeah, it's like Chromeo before Chromeo. Like, they listen to that shit. It's fucking.
It's funky too. It's good. Yeah.
Oh, it's dope. It's dope. So just check yourself out. Some Yellow Magic Orchestra if you want to get down with that fucking clown. Like, it's good shit. Down with the clown.
Dude, I feel like there are a lot of bands that probably pulled an influence from these guys. Like,
oh, they've been sampled. I bet you. Oh, well, they've been sampled like a million times over. Like, they're, yeah, look them up. They're kind of fascinating. They're super fucking cool. So
yeah.
Anyway,
no, that was amazing.
That was that's what you call some clips.
Clips.
Oh, clips.
Clips. You know you want them, baby. You know we got them, baby. You know you want them, baby. You know we got them, baby. Clips.
Clips.
You know we got them, baby. Clips.
Yeah, dog. How is the? What do you think? What are we saying with the clips this week?
I feel great about that clips.
Yeah.
8.8.
And you're deliberately making it so it's going to be a better overall score than mine last week. Like, you're...
Dude, that Rick Moranis clip, that was golden.
Dude, between Moranis...
The Yellow Magic Orchestra...
Poopstick Man. You know, can't forget about...
It's hard to beat a Poopstick Man.
Bible Slide, probably the weakest one.
Yeah, and that's even that was still pretty fun.
Entertainingly disappointing.
Sizzler Rick Moranis scenario, and for that
it drove it high.
It's a 9.5. It's a 9.5 for me.
Wow.
Like, it's a Sizzler Moranis. Yeah. Sizzler,
you know what?
Moranis.
My grading. Like, you don't get to go higher yet, you fucker. It's hard for me to go where I'm going, like, in general, but I'm going a cool 9.0 for me.
Okay.
I did want to upgrade to a 9 flat.
Oh, how dare you copy me? Yeah, that's why I went first.
So we're at a 9.25. We're at a 9.25 average for that clips.
That's a good clip.
That's a good
clip. I feel good about it.
Sizzler Moranis. Like, I mean, that might be the name of the show.
If Moranis could have sang that Sizzler tribute to America, woo!
What do we feel about Moranis? We like Moranis, right?
I love Moranis.
Yeah. I got good vibes from Moranis. Like, I've never met him or anything, but and he's kind of quiet these days, right? But it seems like he's a nice dude. Didn't he get beat up at the subway? Remember, didn't he get beat up or something at the subway? That was pretty recent. That was the last thing I heard about Moranis. Look up. Someone look that up. Do I have anybody to do anything? Can I have to do everything around here? You can't.
Was Rick Moranis beat up at a subway?
I think Rick Moranis was beat up at a subway. I think that happened.
And not at a subway, like the restaurant, but there
like a subway stop.
Yeah, somebody attacked Rick Moranis in like the while he was walking in New York City.
I definitely thought he meant the subway sandwich shop. Yeah,
he got punched in the head.
Yeah, is he all right? Do we know if Rick?
I think he's okay.
Someone check on Rick Moranis. Maybe that's a better name for this. So someone go check on Rick Moranis. We haven't heard from you in a little while.
Well, he's not dead yet.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, so can I? So I'm looking at his little like info page on Google, and it said spouse, and it names his spouse, and then it said 1986 to 1991, and I thought that's how long she lived, and I was like,
oh yeah,
oh, he was married to a 5-year-old. That is creepy.
Yeah, that is not good. Yeah, no,
it's I guess apparently
that's when they were married.
Marriage,
the length of the
but
marriage.
A little bit for half a second, I'm like. No, Rick Moranis, you can't be a apparently very out pedophile.
So before we go to break, I kind of mentioned it earlier at the very, very, very top of the show. And it's a hard one to kind of quantify. But I want to know if you've seen these people and if this is more of a new thing. Because I don't remember like people like this really growing up or not a large amount of. And I'm talking about a very simple sort of thing that I find is indicative in my head of lazy people, right? Like people that are sluggish.
Slothful.
Slothful, yeah. And what they do, and what they do, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. A lot of them are kind of overweight, right?
I definitely, that went to definitely a different place than I thought it was going.
So... But they do a move, I've noticed, and it's this weird walking while your head is horizontal, like their neck strength isn't there, so they lay their dumb fat head on their dumb fat shoulder roll, and they like use it as a like I don't know like people that walk around like. It's a head thing. Have you seen
this? Are you sure they're not on the phone? Like, just talking on the phone?
No. That's not what I'm talking about. Their natural is... have you seen this? Am I alone in this phenomenon?
I feel like I have seen some larger people that, like, maybe not to the side, but I feel like I've definitely seen a lot of fat people who get the lean back one.
The lean back does exist as well, but I'm seeing like, and it can go either
you're
side.
You're doing slack jaw though. Slack jaw makes me think they aren't right in the head.
No, I'm doing. I mean, these people are considered to be completely, you know, normal people, right? They probably aren't right in the head. Ty, but they're not considered disabled, if that makes sense. Like these people are just like, and they tilt their heads. And it's a weird thing. Like they're walking and they just like, and I'm like, where are you? I don't know how to like gauge where you're going, what you're doing. Like there's just this, like, it's a back. You know, it's not just it's not directly to the side. It's a back and to the left. It's like a back and to the left. They got Kennedy'd. That's what we'll call them. We'll call them the Kennedys from now on. The Kennedys.
I was watching a show the other day that basically there was a man who had to have been at least like 450, probably pushing 500 pounds. And they got him in a car, like a big, like, Tahoe SUV. But when he when they got him in the car, for those of you that can't see me and just listen to the podcast, he was so
like out, like you're getting out of like, the car or like,
no, or just sitting in the car while they're like, they have filmed portions while he's driving.
You can't,
or while he's
there is
riding.
No more car. It is him and car. He's wearing the car like a hermit crab wears a shell.
Well, no, it's just like how he had to sit in there because he's got like so much like donk ass.
Yeah.
Like he's taking up so much of the seat that he has to like lean back. And like all you can see is just like his head is just fully tilted back while they're talking to him. Dude. And he's just talking like ambiently to the world because he can't see who he's talking to.
I'm pretty sure that certain like very, very obese people that are poor and have shitty small cars exceed the weight capacity of their car by themselves, right? Like that has happened. That has got to have happened in like Alabama somewhere or something, right?
Like, what, like exceed the limit of a car?
Yeah.
Dude, like, I bet there like are people like where they
a tiny Kia or something, you know what I mean? Like, and it's all they can afford, and they're like 800-900 pounds, like those ridiculous sized ones that they. Well, no, that big you can't walk, but it, like there are people 500-600 pounds that walk around and drive.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess it's probably. Like but you can't have that. You can't bring the whole family, you know, with you when you're in
not in the Kia.
No, you can't. Like it might be a 4-seater, but you're taking 3.5 of the seats. You know?
Okay, so hear me out on this. I think like once you hit a certain weight level,
yeah,
and you have to move into like a larger vehicle, now more of your money is going to like gas and stuff.
Mm.
So you have, and if you're already kind of poor and fat, then you are like, you have even less
boo.
Money to like eat.
Poor fat people, boo,
boo. No, so you have even less money to try and eat healthy with.
I'm Roganing. So just like, I just Roganed you, by the way. I just tried to Rogan you.
So it feels like you just continually get fatter and poorer until you hit the breaking point where you can't drive anymore. And then you get to give up your car. And so you gain like probably a fair amount of your income back, but you have to find a job that lets you be fat and at home.
And then just order McDonald's Uber Eats. And
well, I mean, you have Kroger like delivery.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they're doing that. I don't think they are. I think they're just.
Dude, there's that new Walmart service where they'll come into your house and put your food away.
No. See, that's what originally like Instacart was. Like it started like that. Instacart only took off after the pandemic and people were like, nah, dog, you ain't coming into my home. But, you know, people started just dropping the food off at the doorstep. That was something that would be like a cardinal sin in the Instacart like community before that, because they were all about, we'll shop for you, we knock on your door, we come in, we play with your goddamn kids and pet your dog and put the fucking food away, we know where all your shit goes, like they you get your personal shopper, all that was their whole business model. So now I guess it's kind of coming back to that, is all I'm saying. Like it's the same shit. It's now I guess, what is it, okay, here, help me out with this one really before we go to break. Monkeypox. Now everybody talking about that. What? Why is it that the gays are getting it more? Is it a fucking disease?
I think it's,
you know, it's weird. I don't know about you, but I haven't done like a deep read on it. But still, everything I have read about it,
it's in the LGBT community. Like,
it's not just that, but it's fucking in general. I think it doesn't have to be gay. It can be any kind of fucking.
Oh, well, we do all know that the gays do fuck more, so that's fair. Like, you know, and if it gets into, there's nothing wrong with that. Good on the gays.
I don't know if it's only sexual, but it's mostly.
Okay, so I think part of it is that the people who were getting it initially were young men, and what happens is they ended up with lesions on their genitals, I guess, as part of the disease.
Fuck! Okay. I need to go get my monkey. Sorry, guys. I thought those lesions were normal. Can I
I get lesions all the time. Is this monkeypox?
Yeah, they say there's a lot of like it's transmitted prominently sexually because well, you do get these like sores and stuff on you. I guess you get them all over, and so they're on your genitals too. And I guess when you go to use your genitals, they rupture. Are you
patient? Ty, you've done that. You've been. You might be patient zero. You are the monkeypox.
It's my fault, probably.
Yeah.
Dude, well, imagine if you're like you're going to hump a girl, and you got the monkeypox on your donger a little bit, but all your little sores aren't like open. They're just little. Like pus pimples.
Ugh.
Oh, that's when they're good. The girls like it.
No, yeah. Stop. I don't.
Initially,
feel
the girl is like, "Oh, it's ribbed. It's like studded for my pleasure."
No. And,
until one of these lesions breaks.
No.
Yep.
Are you done? I was about to hit a button, bro. The button was that close. It was that close. All right. That being said, I think it is time we take a little bit of a break for those of you live. For those of you, of course, though, listening onto the podcast feed, well, you'll have to find us next week or on Sunday for Oh No 2.0. We typically release it so that you've got it for your Sunday and Monday, you know, like start your week up. So you got your Thursday like top up from the goodness of, oh, we need the Oh No radio show. Then when the Sunday comes along, you're like, damn it. Oof. Like, I need this. It's like your heroin fix, you know? Yeah. Like,
oh, and
yeah.
BBC monkeypox.
BBC monkeypox.
British Broadcasting.
What are you?
The other one.
Oh. why would you say that? Why would you?
It's because it originated in Nigeria.
And you just assume that they're all, you know, yeah. I mean, I guess it's not probably the worst assumption, but it's a thing. No, I don't like that one. This one. Let's do this one. We're going to get out of here for a second here, folks. We need a little bit of a break.
A break.
And by the way, weirdly, this is episode 555.
Triple nickel.
Look at that. 555 triple fives.
So triple nickel.
Yeah. Can't believe I've wasted these many hours doing the show. But hey, it's all been fun. And hey, there's plenty more fun to come. Patreon.com/ONRS if you want to help us out. You want to donate a couple bucks. Hey, 407-906-6466 if you want to leave a voicemail. Sometimes we take calls. Probably not tonight, but, you know, we're there. Leave us a voicemail. It's awesome. Onomedia.com if you need any podcast services. Hey, I'll do your editing. I'll record your podcast if you want. Just pay me enough money. That being said, boys, what do we say when we get out of here for the first segment? Fuck your